Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Well, we welcome you back. We're going to be in John chapter 14 today. We've been hitting the last portion of the Gospel of John. We'll be doing that leading up to Easter and then even after Easter. Because here we have the teachings of Jesus that are leading up to his crucifixion. And so he has some very important teachings that are incorporated in there. Actually, some of the best teaching on the Holy Spirit, as far as doctrine goes, is found in those chapters 14, 15, and 16. So usually we kind of go to the book of Acts to learn about the Holy Spirit, but actually the teaching about what the Holy Spirit does is found in those chapters. So we're going to be in John chapter 14, 1 through 14, called Confidence. So also, there's still some t-shirt, sweatshirt applications back there. Applications, I don't know. Order forms, there we go, that's a better word. So if we need more, just ask Sarah, or probably Sarah would be the best person. She'll make some copies for you. So, but try to get those in and get those done. And grab a couple of those invite cards, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the message, just to just prayerfully seeking who God wants you to invite. It's a great opportunity just to partner with God and when the time of the season, and to connect with people. All right, John chapter 14. How many have been watching basketball?
Nope.
Okay, some watching basketball. We so who lost? We had a real good bracket buster yesterday, or the day before, right? Who lost, Everett? Virginia, number one seed, gets kiboshed, right? So they're done. And then last night, Michigan was playing. Who were they playing?
Houston,
yes. And that was down to the wire. And I had picked Michigan, but it didn't look good for them. But they stayed in it. And right in the last second, the freshman puts in the three-pointer, wins the game for them, and so they're moving on. So Michigan, of course, is what knocked Nebraska out of the Big Ten tournament. So I wouldn't mind seeing them go on further. So, but what's interesting is you watch these teams, even like a Virginia, who was number one seed, had a great season, but even their best players, they get behind 10, 15 points, and what would be seen as a confident team, okay, and they're confident in their players, they're confident in, as a team, they're confident in their coach and what their coach has taught them. They get to a certain place, and you can see that confidence evaporate, right, in that difficult moment. And that's one of the things I do enjoy watching sports, is to see how some people in a difficult moment, that confidence turns, and it just evaporates. And at other times, how there's people that rise to the challenge, and they display confidence even in a difficult hour. To me, that is just a truly interesting thing to study. What enables some people to rise above that and others not so much? Now, let's apply that to the Christian life. As we live our Christian lives, how many days, how many hours in a week do we live a confident Christian life? What do I mean by that? Well, do we go around being discouraged? Do we go around in our prayer life just wondering what God will do? And thinking, you know what, I can't pray a prayer because I don't know if God's going to answer that prayer. Or I don't believe in what God has called me to do, my giftings, my talent. God can never work through me, right? So those issues of confidence that play into all this. And so I want us to, failure is one of the biggest confidence killers that we can go through, right? We can be going along, clipping along good, and have all the talents, gifts, and God's presence with us, and all of a sudden we hit a moment of failure, and our confidence disappears. It's gone. It can happen to the best of us. So, Jesus saw in the coming days the disciples were going to encounter some difficult moments. So if you kind of look at the snapshot of things, it's right before the Passover when he's giving these messages. So Passover, it's right after Passover that Jesus would be crucified. And then you have the resurrection 3 days later. But that was going to be a huge moment in the lives of the disciples, right? They maybe were feeling confident at this moment and at this time, and they maybe weren't too concerned about things, but Jesus knew that was all going to change in a few days when he would be betrayed, when he'd be crucified, and it's kind of like their confidence would be evaporating. You can see that as you look at their life story. As they ran, they hid, they were disarrayed, they were in trouble. And they would come back to what Jesus had told them. All right, even Judas would betray them, right? And turn Jesus over. So the courage, boldness, and confidence they felt days prior would vanish, and they would have to dig deep and remember what Jesus had spoken to them. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. We just pray that your presence would just, your Holy Spirit would take your words this morning and make it come alive for us. And we give you the thanks, we give you the praise, in your name we ask. Amen. Let's read that together. Chapter 14 of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 to begin with. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms," or some translations say many mansions. That's where that song, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop," right? "If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I know the way to the place where I am going." All right? He knows the way. Thomas said to him, Thomas was called what? Doubting Thomas. Okay, he said, "I won't believe until I see the nail prints in his hands." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Isn't that interesting? We often quote that verse of Scripture, "He is the way, the truth, and the life," but when you apply it within that context, they're saying, how do we get to the Father? How can we get to heaven? Show us the way. And so Jesus is going to describe that. So in your programs, there's some points there. We can, how can we be confident? We can be confident through Jesus, through three different things that he points out here. First of all, we can be confident through Jesus because we have the promise of heaven. We have the promise of heaven. He begins this section by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That word "troubled" in the Greek means to be literally shaken up, stirred up, disturbed, unsettled, thrown into confusion. You ever been there? You ever been there? I have. Yeah, you get all of a sudden you get a report, doctor's report. Not what you wanted to hear. Kind of like, woo! Kind of unsettles things, doesn't it? Or you get the report, something has happened. All of a sudden your life is turned upside down. And the disciples probably were not feeling that right at that moment, but it was going to happen on the day he would be betrayed and then he would be crucified. Their life would be turned upside down. And they would be troubled. And they would come back to, oh, what did Jesus say? He said something about this. Probably in those quiet moments, in their hiding, keeping a low profile, they would probably remember what he had said and said, oh yeah, he said not to let our hearts be troubled. It is to be upset, agitated, the added component of fear, of being frightened, of being terrified, the threat of being intimidated. The disciples would face all that in the coming days after his crucifixion. You know, and in our world, there's times that our life may be troubled. Maybe it's a shooting, a school or concert, or it could be just what we read. Sometimes I watch the news and sometimes I don't, right? Because of what's happening there. I think if you had a steady diet of the news, your heart would always be troubled. Because there's just so much that is happening there. Sometimes life is going well in our country, in our nation, in our world, and at times it's not. But we have a hope, right? We have the promise of heaven. God has not promised that this world is going to be perfect, okay? That's written nowhere in Scripture. What he has promised is that he's gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. and that he's not going to desert us, he's not going to leave us, but he's preparing that place for us. The Assemblies of God, we call this doctrine the blessed hope, and I like that. I like that term, blessed hope, because it reminds us that we have a hope that extends beyond this world, this earth, and it's a blessed hope. It's something that we're looking forward to and that we're longing for. God has not called us to live in fear, has he? What does fear do to you? Paralyzes you. Sometimes it's the flight or flee. Yeah, I'm going to fight, right? They say when you get into one of those moments, it sends adrenaline to your legs. So either you flee or you fight. So if somebody's threatened, that's why they can be defensive. Okay. But it usually paralyzes us, fear does. You ever had that dream where you're being chased by a big bear? And you just, in your dreams, you can't move. I don't know, has anybody ever had that same dream? In your dream, you can't move, you're just stuck there. So, and I've hunted up in Alaska, I've hiked up in Alaska, and you know, they're the brown bears, their prints are pretty big, and I never had a close encounter. I saw them from a distance, and that's close enough. But, you know, and then you're moose hunting, you're walking through these alder trees. They're about 6-8 feet tall, just all bushy, and you're walking through that. You can't hardly see in front of you, you know. It's just not a good feeling. You see the footprints, and yeah, not good. All right, but fear can, it causes uncertainty, right? Fear, it paralyzes us. We don't want to breathe. We definitely do not, when we're fearful, we can't love, right? We can't do what God has called us to do if we're fearful. How could the disciples go out and be missionaries to the rest of the world if they were living in fear? Think about that. They were going to stay in a safe place and do nothing more. And God had not called them to live in fear, but to go forward and do the mission of God. Our mission is, you haven't memorized yet? We've had about a month. Okay. I should have like a $100 bill up here if somebody memorized it. Jay hasn't memorized. To lead, love, and connect people to a life-changing relationship with Christ. That's pretty easy, isn't it? And if we are to do that, if we are to do that to our communities, we can't be living in a spirit of fear. We have to live in confidence, right? That God has everything under control, and even if it involves our life, God has given us the promise of heaven. We're never promised another day. I get up and just thank God for each day that he's given me and God's blessing and his purpose. So through Christ, we have the hope of heaven, but we also have something else. So let's look at verses 7 through 10. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, now we got Philip. We had Thomas, now we have Philip. Lord, show us the Father. And that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen the Father, who has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me, doing his work through me. The disciples definitely knew Jesus, but now Jesus is stretching them saying, hey, you know what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, I don't think he was talking about appearance because God is spirit, right? So I don't think it was this physical thing, but it was this idea that God's spirit is in me, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, Hebrews 1:3, as the book of Hebrews begins, says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In other words, the Son is the exact resemblance of God the Father. And so what Jesus was saying, you know what? If you've seen me, you have seen your Father, my Father, in heaven. When I was hunting in the Black Hills in December, we had a fellow with us who was kind of acting as our guide a little bit. They'd hunted the area quite a bit. And it was just kind of interesting because I knew his uncle. His uncle is one of my dad's coffee buddies that they meet for coffee every morning. And so it wasn't the guy's father, but it was his uncle. But it was interesting watching this young man. He was about 30. Resemblance, a lot of resemblance between him and his uncle. But even just how they talked and how their mannerisms, everything, it was just kind of like, wow. I mean, it was just a lot of things that were in similar fashion. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what? The same was true. If they knew Jesus, they also knew God the Father. And I don't think it was that physical representation, but I think it was the relational sense that if they knew Jesus, they also were in connection with the Father. And for us to know Jesus is crucial because when we come to, when we pray in whose name? But who do we pray to? God the Father, right? Now think about that. When you are coming before God, do you see him as your Father in heaven? You're coming through Jesus, right? His name, but you're going to God the Father. In our discussion post this week for my class, we had to talk about when God says no, when he closes doors. And the book is really stretches you in the area of prayer, but then he has a chapter just on when God closes doors. And what really helps me to understand that chapter a little bit better is when we see God as our Father, that as a father, there's times, you know, if I can say yes to my sons, I do that, right? But there's times I have to say no, right? Why? Why do I say no? Because I hate them, right? No, that's not, I don't say no. I don't want to punish them usually. But I say no because either what they're asking, I see the ramifications that it's going to be something bad, or maybe I know that God has something better for them, right? And so I say no. Now factor that into when you go before God in prayer. We don't know the future. He does. He knows what is best for us. He wants his best plan for us, right? And so sometimes God does close a door. But then I believe that he also opens up other doors that are better. Not in his time, right? Often we want that door to open right now, and God says, no, in my time, I'll open that door. And so through Jesus, we have a couple promises, the hope of heaven, and that we can know the Father. But there's a third one that's important, especially when we look at the second one that leads into the third one. So let's look at verses 11 through 14. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What was Jesus doing? What was he doing? What kind of miracles? Healing? What kind of healings?
Blind
could see. Lame could walk. Raise the dead. Those pretty significant miracles. Jesus said, you know what, you can do the same miracles that I've been doing. Isn't that what he just said? Okay. He says that you can even do greater things than these. Because why? Because I go to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may bring glory to the Father. Son may bring glory to the Father. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it. Now, this basic promise is repeated in chapter 15, verse 7, and then also chapter 16, 23 through 24. Basically, that same idea that you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. And I think you have to take that in the context that it has to be in alignment with the heart of the Father. So if we know the Father and we know God's heart, then as we pray in accordance to that, I think the sky's the limit of what God wants to do through us. And I think what the heart of the Father is what? Salvation, miracles, right? For God's grace and mercy to go forth. That is what God is wanting to do in our culture and in our world. You take that into our communities where God has placed us, at work, at school. How big of prayers are you praying? The third principle is because of Jesus, we can pray bold prayers. And we may think that that puts God out to pray a bold prayer. But I think God is challenged by us. Kind of like, finally, somebody's praying a prayer that challenges me. You ever looked at a prayer like that? Instead of like, man, am I asking too big of a request to God? I mean, he parted the Red Sea, right? Raised the dead. You look at all the miracles, the walls of Jericho, feeding manna to over 1 million people every day. You just try doing that. That's a pretty big prayer, right? That God would provide all that. You look at all the miracles of the Bible and the miracles that Jesus did, and how do your prayers match up to that? And I think many times our prayers are too small. Now, if you're just praying for the, you know, the nice big house or the big Cadillac, I believe God cares about those things. And there's times we need transportation. We need a roof over our head. But I believe when we are praying the will of God for souls, for miracles, for His gospel to go forth, the sky's the limit. Take that into what we're going to do this weekend with the extravaganza. You know, we go through a lot of activity there, but our main goal and purpose is to connect people to God, right? To show the love of God. And, you know, is it too big of a prayer to say, hey, God, give me one person I can connect with at that extravaganza that I can share Christ with? That's what we want to do. We want to just build relationships within our community and point people to Christ. Is it too much to ask to believe that God would allow you to invite a couple people to church? Maybe it's the sunrise service or for the breakfast or the celebration service? I don't think so. These are opportunities that we can partner with God to believe God for great things. Jesus said, you may think that because Jesus was the Son of God, he could do whatever he wanted to do and pray whatever he wanted to pray, right? But John 5:19 says, very truly I tell you. So when it's very truly, that's important, okay? Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So when you take that, the second promise that if we know Jesus, we know the Father, that really impacts how we pray and the effectiveness of our prayers. Because if we know God the Father, if we pray in alignment with God the Father, the sky's the limit. Because we're not just praying random prayers, we are praying with the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Does that make sense? When I'm praying for people, sometimes I pray scripture because I'm not getting anything from, you know, it's like how to pray. You know, I ask how to pray, so I pray scripture. God's will is for healing, right? God's will is for reconciliation. Those are a lot of things I pray about. But there's times where, say a person is very, very elderly, not in Andy's terms, but an elder. You know, they're at the end of life. That's always been a tough one. God, are you wanting to take him home to heaven to be in your presence, or are you wanting to bring healing? That's always been a tough one for me because we know God's will is to heal, right? But maybe God is wanting to go home. Maybe the person is saying, hey, I want to go home. I'm ready. And so to know the God's will and all that. Hear that. I've never prayed to say, God, take him home. I've never done that. But but we pray for strength, and we pray that God would be with them. I'm going to have the musicians come. I just want to challenge us. Through Christ, we have confidence. The disciples, their world was going to be turned upside down, and it would take them a while to kind of get their balance back after the crucifixion of Christ. They'd be taken back for a while, but they would recover it. You'd have the day of Pentecost that would come, and we're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit after Easter. As we build up to Pentecost, but they would kind of lose their ground a little bit. They would lose their confidence. But in those coming days, they would pray, they would seek God. And I believe they would go back to these truths of what Jesus had to say. And it was kind of like, oh yeah, he did say, do not let your hearts be troubled. He would say, they would know the Father, and so they would seek him, and they would pray bold prayers. When we look at the book of Acts, we see all the miracles that they did. But Peter, James, and John could go up to a man at the gate, beautiful, and they had been crippled since birth. Everybody knew it. Everybody in the community knew it. He was begging there. And said, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he was healed right before their eyes. You may think that God can't do that anymore. But But according to Scripture, God is still wanting to do those things in our world, in our society, in our culture. If we can go back to that verse 12. Verse 12. Who can pray these great bold prayers? What does it say? I tell you the truth. Who? Who?
Anyone.
Are you an anyone? I'm a little bit hard of hearing, Barb. Anyone can ask the Father. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. I hope that stretches you a little bit. That God wants to work through you. Maybe gives you a little bit of a confidence boost to pray with boldness. Maybe a confidence boost just to trust Him. And maybe your heart is troubled here this morning. I don't know. There's definitely times and seasons where I've been there. That God is with you. He's walking with you. He can give you confidence. God is faithful. Amen. God is with us. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation this morning. I hope everybody knows Christ as the Lord and our Savior. But maybe you've been here and you just haven't solidified that in your own life. So would you join me as a congregation? Would you just join me in this prayer? And especially if you haven't invited Christ into your life. We have the promise that through Christ we can know the Father. And we can know the hope of heaven. And we can know God's provision in prayer. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me? Saying, Dear God, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me to follow in your steps. And to walk with confidence. In your name we pray. I'm going to have those that are in help with prayer, if you would come. We're going to close with that song, Good, Good Father. Because the picture I had in my mind in preparation for this, and that God has just kind of dropped in my heart this week, is just of a father that loves his children. And he wants the best for them. And at times we wrestle with that because sometimes God answers those prayers immediately. But sometimes His timing is important. And so we're left waiting. And as a parent, I understand that. Sometimes my answer isn't always no. It's yes, but just not right now, right? You have chores to do. You have other things to do. And then yes, right? And sometimes it is no because I know that there's other things that are better. And if I can look at it through that lens, it helps me understand how God works with us. And I think that's why He's put those relationships in our life, whether it's marriage, whether it's kids, family. It helps us to understand our God. Amen? The relationship we have with Him. Would you stand this morning? We're going to sing that chorus. Would you let God speak to you? If you have a request or you want agreement in prayer with, we have people here who will pray with you. We're going to believe God. Amen? Sense in my spirit this morning that I don't know if it's a bunch of people or maybe just one or two, but you were pretty hard on yourself this past week. And I don't know all the things that had taken place, but you've been hard on yourself, and God just wants to reassure you of His love, His grace, and His mercy. His love for you. Father, this morning, as we read earlier in Scripture and in this passage that we've discovered together, Father, you've just reminded us of the love of God that changes, it transforms us, Lord. And there's even some here today, I believe, that are just questioning that. Just because of the circumstances in life, they're questioning your love and your mercy. Or they're questioning it because of their own failure and their own disappointments this week. Father, I know I don't have all the answers, but I do know the love of God. And Lord God, you're showing me that each and every day, just your grace and your mercy. And Father, I just pray that we can all know the love of God as our Father. And Father, that you can allow us to move into that, because it's only then that our lives are transformed so that we can love the world around us. And that we can live without fear, that we can live confident lives, knowing that God our Father is behind us. He's with us each step of the way. We don't have anything to be afraid of. We don't have to let our heart be troubled. We can come before Him in prayer because we know the Father and He loves us. And because of that, we can live a confident Christian life because of our Father in heaven and because of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that that this teaching this morning is more than just truth, but it's truth that transforms our lives, Lord God. Today, tomorrow, through this week, through this month, through the rest of our life, that we can live in your truth, because perfect love and truth casts out all fear. Let us live within that. We give you the thanks and the praise this morning. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You need to shake hands with a few people and say, live this week in confidence. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.